Dr. Lawrence White of Our Savior Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas, on why they support Issues Etc.
Our Savior in Houston has deliberately included Issues Etc. as a significant part of our outreach ministry, and we regard every dollar that we've committed to this ministry is a dollar well spent in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
To find out how your congregation can support this worldwide outreach, visit the support page of our website, issuesetc.org, and look for the Issues Etc. 300.
If you call, I will answer. If you fall,
well, before we get to Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, we want to listen to some of your comments from the Issues Etc. comment line. That's a number you can call anytime and leave your questions or comments, criticism, show suggestions, whatever. 618-223-8384. 618-223-8384. Here's a comment about Christian apologetics.
This is Paul in Milwaukee, musing on the limits of apologetics taken up on Issues Etc. Monday. In God's economy, if apologetics is a reasoned defense of the faith against criticism, is it subordinate to preaching and teaching of law and gospel? More energy is put into proclamation of the word than using our minds answering criticism of it. If the word is foolishness to the Greeks, how much can argument of the fallen mind be used to change the fool into the faithful or blunt his attack? The creed does not attack Arius. It repeats what Athanasius has been taught and teaches. Two Issues Etc. guests consistently are apologists, Professors Montgomery and Parton. Both are lawyers. Coincidence? Maybe it would help if the modern apologists adopted a new title. Thanks for listening.
Well, I wouldn't, believe me, I do not have a particularly high view of the attorney's profession, although I must say most of the lawyers that I do know are just great people and very professional people, but I've been on the wrong end of the lawyer once or twice in my life. But I don't think that's a reason in any way to impugn apologetics. Apologetics, in my mind, is subordinate to the main task of the church. It may be necessary preliminary work out in the public square to lay the groundwork for the proclamation of the gospel, but it should never substitute for the proclamation of the gospel. Often when you are doing apologetics the right way, that is focusing on the resurrection of Jesus Christ and on his claims about himself as the Savior of the world, you will end up preaching the gospel, but I think it should always be subordinate to Christ's mandate to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name. When we come back, more from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Issues Etc. is listener supported. That means we rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. Please consider making a tax-deductible gift to Issues Etc. today. You can donate online, issuesetc.org, or by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
Smartest listeners in radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Intense efforts promote abortion in the Philippines.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
pro-abortion advocates in the Philippines, supported by the Obama administration and Planned Parenthood International, are attempting to get the Philippine Congress to pass what they call the Responsible Parenthood Act. If passed, the legislation, among other things, would establish a two-child limit in the heavily Catholic country. After heated debate, the legislation was voted down on the last day of the congressional session. However, supporters of the bill, who spent millions of dollars promoting it, pledged to reintroduce it when the Philippines Congress reconvenes.
Are you pro-life? Then visit our website at sba-list.org and discover how you can make a difference. I'm Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. Thanks for taking a stand.
It is 5 times 10 times 17 times 5 times 10 times 17.
The Holy Spirit is described in the Scriptures as not talking much about himself. His purpose is to point us to the Messiah.
I didn't see anything in the report about putting restrictions on abortion, for example. You know, that would be another sort of thing you could do if you were worried about your birthright, right?
If you looked at your love letters and you looked at your term papers, I hope that you would find a radical difference between them. You've written both, but if the style is the same, either you never got married or you never managed to pass an academic course.
In about 5 minutes, Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, your chance to pick the soundbite of the week. But first, one final comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
This is Mike in Illinois calling with a suggestion. I really appreciate the straight-from-the-horse's-mouth interviews conducted, like the recent interview with Dr. Bart Ehrman regarding his new book, Forged. As an on-demand listener, I did not realize that we had time to submit questions until after the interview had already taken place. I know that these interviews are not supposed to take on a debate format, but there is one question that I would love to hear asked of Dr. Ehrman or any other higher critical scholar. When such a guest commits the logical misstep of a blind appeal to scholarship, such as Dr. Ehrman's frequent mantra of, "Most scholars agree," I would love to hear their answer to this question. Since the methodology of higher criticism has been abandoned as flawed and inaccurate by nearly every other scholarly discipline, why should we trust the conclusions of biblical scholars who continue to use this methodology? I trust that Todd would be able to phrase the question in a manner that doesn't sound too snarky or rude and that doesn't move the interview into a debate mode. But the question is valid. If this methodology has been discredited for Homer or Caesar or Ugaritic texts or any other modern or classical literature, why does it remain credible for biblical literature? A scholar waxing apologetic about his conclusions should be able to give apology for his methods as well. If you have bad methodology, you usually have a bad outcome. Thanks for all that you do, and keep up the good work.
Wow, smartest listeners in radio. That one, put that one down on the list, Jeffy, for a possible soundbite of the week. Well, of course, what Dr. Ehrman was doing quite often in that interview, that is, by the way, posted at our website, issuesetc.org, was what philosophers or those who delve in logic will call an appeal to diffuse authority. That is, scholars say, or everyone believes, or they say. He was a little more particular. Scholars believe, or scholars have concluded, but it's still an appeal to diffuse authority. And of course, you get, when you do that, you get to choose the scholars who agree with you without tipping the hand that you're doing that. Polls indicate, well, I get to pick the polls that indicate what I want them to say. So it's sloppy arguments at the very least, but I think your question is very important, and that is, let's talk about the methods that you and those other scholars employ, namely the historical critical method and literary criticism. No one else is using it in any other discipline. Why do Bible scholars continue to use it? Is it a credible method? Therefore, should the conclusions be trusted, no matter how many scholars you can appeal to?